I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's time now for a look at sports, and for that, we have News and Notes' very own Tony Cox.
Hey, Farai.
Tony, how many big-time college football programs are there?
Well, about 25, give or take, at the top level of college football.
And, well, how many of those have African-American coaches?
Well, Farai, there were 6. Now there are 5.5, actually, and I know where you're going with this. So it's topic number 1 for today's conversation with New York Times sports columnist Bill Roden. Hey, Bill, how are you?
The great Tony Cox. I'm fine, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Listen, Bill, this week we saw another African-American coach get sacked. Carl Durrell is out at UCLA after having 35 wins against 27 losses in 5 years. He's been replaced on an interim basis for UCLA's Vegas Bowl game against BYU with defensive coordinator Dwayne Walker. Now, he's the guy who's given much of the credit for UCLA's lone victory over crosstown giant USC a year ago, and you know what happened in that must-win game this year, so Durrell got the boot. A lot of folks, Bill, were rooting for him because there are so few black coaches out there, and he did clean up the program a little bit, but he got 5 years. That was fair, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you sign up for this, Tony, you realize that you're getting, as a coach, you're being hired to be fired. So I think that's never been the issue with minority coaches and African-American coaches. And I think the issue is the recyclability of coaches, that once you get fired, will you then immediately get another job? It's just a transition going from one to the other. And with historically, with African-American coaches, it's been you got that one shot, and when you get fired, that's it. I mean, you know, Ty Willingham was an exception, but the rule is normally you get fired, that's it, you know, and then go to the broadcast booth. Or,
well, how many are there exactly? Because, you know, I get confused. Is it 5 or is it 6,
well,
not counting
totally,
Walker?
The big schools, you got 5. You got just one quickly. You got one at Washington. You got one at University of Miami. You got one at K-State. You got one at University of Buffalo, and you've got one at Mississippi State.
All right, let's talk about the BCS, because what a wreck it's been this season, depending on your school, of course. Now, the BCS right. Championship national game pits Ohio State against LSU. A lot of people think that it should have been Georgia and Southern Cal, or maybe even Oklahoma. Now, Bill, nobody's ever happy, but did the BCS really just mess up this year?
Well, you know, Tony, it just gets worse. It just gets worse and worse and worse every year. And this year is just a disaster because now you've got all these two-loss teams, and so you just basically close your eyes and reach into a hat and grab you know, two teams. Am I disappointed that it's LSU and Ohio State? No, because these are two strong programs. But it, like you said, it could have been Missouri. It could have been Southern Cal. You know, it's just it's almost a criminal system that you deprive people at the end of the year of really finding out who's number one. You need a playoff. You need a mini tournament. Everybody knows it, but they just want to keep these cash cow bowl, independent bowls in business. And to me, that's what's criminal about the whole system.
Now, the BCS, the top bowls, these are $14 million and up per bowl, per team, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge business. And to suddenly say, we're going to do a tournament, you've got, you know, like the Outback Bowl and all these other bowls. Say, wait a minute, you know, what are we going to do? So you're right. I mean, this is a whole lucrative business, Tony. And to me, it really reinforces the whole plantation system of college football, because here you got these, you know, kids playing for a scholarship, which is fine. But all these millions of dollars are swirling around about them. And there's no compensation. And I've always maintained that if your school gets to one of these lucrative bowls, the player should then get some type of compensation.
Let's turn to boxing for a moment, because Saturday, a big fight coming up between two unbeaten guys.
Huge fight.
Big fight.
Big fight.
Ricky Hatton and Floyd Mayweather Jr. But I want to talk about this new thing called, this new hype. Mm-hmm. It's a show called 24/7. Which right. delves into the lives of both boxers leading up to the big fight. Is this a sign that boxing is in trouble in terms of getting people to watch, that they have to hype it this way?
Well, no, I think, Tony, that it's just a sign of the times, that everything is reality TV, even boxing, which is the ultimate reality. I mean, two people pummeling each other, that's not enough. You know, we've now got to do this 24/7. I think, frankly, you've got so much in this fight with Hatton, the Brit, Hatton, you know, the white kid, Mayweather, the American, black kid, great champion. I think there are a lot of elements that are going to make this a very appealing fight. But to get back to your question, this is just simply the times we live in, and that what you do isn't enough. You have to hype it beyond that.
You know, how much do you think this boxing reality circus owes itself to the legacy of, let's say, Muhammad Ali, for example, who never saw a camera that he didn't like and who turned his own life into a hype machine 24/7 a long time ago?
Well, but I don't want to sully Ali's image. I mean, I think Ali, first and foremost, was a man of principle and exceptional boxing talent, but he was a person of principle. But yes, he and Don King did see the idea of the notion that you got to sell this stuff.
He would love this.
24/7, is that all?
Absolutely. I don't want to end on a down note, but I do want to ask you about this Samari Rowe thing really quickly. Samari Rowe from the Baltimore Ravens, Monday Night Football against the Patriots, a game very controversial. Rowe complaining to the NFL, which said it would investigate. Rowe's problem was that he claimed that an official called him a boy. Now, the official, also black and older. But this just seems bizarre to me.
Silly and bizarre. And I think what happened, too, is that Rowe may have told this guy something, I think, on the order, you never played pro football. Well, of course,
this guy
did play professional football. And I think that what he probably said, and if he did, he should have said, boy, I was playing football before you were even born.
Yeah.
He should have said that. In that case, boy is completely justified because you don't know your history. You're talking out your hat. Shut up.
Bill, thank you very much.
Tony, it's always a pleasure.
That was NPR's Tony Cox speaking with our regular sports commentator, William C. Roden. Roden is a sports columnist for the New York Times and author of Third and a Mile, The Trials and Tribulations of the Black Quarterback. And he joined us from NPR Studios in New York City.